Collective Minds Radio.
Stand on your square, we on the earth, we about to earn it out. Tune in and turn it up to hear what we talking about, whether it's old or a new point. Call in with your viewpoint and add to our collective of colorful perspectives. The brothers, word to the mothers of the queens and the kings. We gon' get into some things, dig deep and going deeper, waking up the sleeper. Who beepin' the peeper? Yeah, your boy done found a keeper. See, we talking.
It is what it is.
What up, what up? Peace, family. We back in the building. This is Brother Kev, a.k.a. Cosmic Kev.
And this is your girl, Rigel.
Assalamu alaikum. I'm Barry Ghani Hotel. This is Brother Mufasa Ra.
And we are Collective Minds Radio, y'all. We back again another week, hopefully to share a constructive dialogue with the family. This is Collective Minds Radio, where we all ain't got to think alike, but we all have to think. And we got a great, you know, build lined up for the family, great conversation. You know, like I say, 2020 has not been short of things to talk about. There's been a lot going on. You know, I've personally been saying we've actually moved in the earth into another dimension. You know what I'm saying? That's on my cosmic care. But we are definitely in an alternate universe. We definitely seeing things that we have not seen in our lifetime. So, you know, we just like to sit back, talk about it, and enjoy the ride. So we here, family. We go get it, you know, get the conversation started here in a second. But before we do, you know, my brother Mufasa and Queen Rigel, how was y'all week? And do y'all have any announcements for the family?
No announcements. And I had a great week. Just moving forward, continuing to moving forward, and some progress. As long as I'm making progress, I'm pretty satisfied with things. So no announcements, though. But that's pretty much it.
All right. Yes, indeed. My brother Mufasa Ra, how was your week, my brother? And do you got any announcements for us?
All is well. All is well. I'm still alive, still ducking and dodging Rona. So it's a blessing. You know, it was a good weekend. Yesterday was my daughter's birthday. She turned 20. So, boom.
All right.
Happy for her. Happy for my niece. She had a birthday. So, all the fam, happy birthday. And, yeah, it was a good week, so no major announcements. Just glad to be in the land of the living.
Happy birthday,
all
Nisi,
right.
Nisi.
Yes, indeed. Happy birthday. Yeah, taking that. Happy birthday. Another trip around the sun and many more prosperous trips for you. Yes, indeed. That's family here at Collective Minds. So, yeah, I don't have any announcements. You know, we can just get right into the topic at hand. There's been a lot going on this week, y'all. I'm sure, you know, a lot of people heard about Nick Cannon, the fiasco or the debacle that happened this past week. Just to get, you know, get people caught up and up to speed, basically, Nick Cannon has a podcast that shows on YouTube. And he had Professor Griff on there. Now, what a lot of people may not know is this episode was actually filmed, I believe, like a year ago. And he just put it out. You know, he had been sitting on it. He does interviews with a lot of black people. You know, a lot of people would say in the conscious community. He had RZA Islam on there. He had Dr. Joy DeGruy on there. He had Tariq Nasheed. Some other black professors from Howard, just, you know, just a lot of different prominent people, you know, a lot of people from the conscious community. But this particular episode, he had Professor Griff on there. And, you know, if you don't know, Professor Griff was the Minister of Information for Public Enemy for a long time. They had actually fired him from the group for an interview that he did where he was actually talking about Jewish people, basically, you know, going into some things of some books that he had read. I believe it was The Secret Relationship Between Black and Jews. And that started a frenzy. That was back in, I believe, the late 80s, maybe early 90s. And he ended up being let go from the group. So fast forward to this interview he's doing with Nick Cannon, you know, this same conversation pops up. And, you know, they were going through the dialogue, and really, and this is just my opinion, I don't really think they said anything untrue. I don't think I heard anything, you know, that can't be verified or, you know, that goes against what they were saying. Basically, I understood what they were saying. But it seems like, you know, a lot of people got offended once the interview had hit, and people were calling, you know, Nick Cannon anti-Semitic, a lot of comments calling him bigoted, racist. And I was just pointing to the show last week where we talked about can black people be racist. So go on archives, check that out. But I digress on that. So in this interview, you know, they just got to talking, having a great dialogue. The interview has been pulled. You know, if anybody want to go out there and check it, they've already scratched the interview. So now the heat was on Nick Cannon. And when it first jumped off, you know, Nick was kind of standing his ground. And I just want to read the difference in tone between, you know, his first apology and the second one that he came with. And then we go let you know, Queen Raiju and Brother Mufasa go in, and then we go hit the call lines and see what the family got to say. So this is Nick's first response, because when the interview came out and he was getting a lot of heat, Viacom, which owns Wild'n Out, they own MTV, and subsequently the Wild'n Out brand, they cut ties with him. And it was a big thing going on. You know, a lot of people was rallying behind Nick at this point. And he released this statement. This was the first statement. I'm not going to read the entire thing because it's pretty long, but I'm going to just, you know, read some excerpts. It says, and he posted this on his social media. It says, "I am deeply saddened in a moment so close to reconciliation that the powers that be misused an important moment for us to all grow closer together and learn more about one another. Instead, the moment was stolen and hijacked to make an example of an outspoken black man. I will not be bullied, silenced, or continuously oppressed by any organization, group, or corporation. I am disappointed that Viacom does not understand or respect the power of the black community." Woo. Now that first paragraph there set it off. It goes on to say, and I'm not going to read everything. Let me get right here. Okay, it goes on to say, "My hope and original goal was to use this moment to show healing and acceptance and pray that Viacom would use their powers for good. Instead, I am now receiving death threats, hate messages calling me an ungrateful nigger, and beyond. Viacom's goal to keep me from providing for my family and lineage will not be foiled. They can try to kick me while I'm down or force me to kiss the master's feet in public for shame and ridicule, but instead I stand firm on my square with my fist in the air, repeating my mantra, you can't fire a boss." Okay. Okay, and then it goes on to say, I'm skipping down. "As for Viacom, who is now on the wrong side of history, I will continue to pray for you. I don't blame any individual. I blame the oppressive and racist infrastructure. Systemic racism is what this world was built on and was the subject in which I was attempting to highlight in the recent clips that have been circulating from my podcast. If I have furthered the hate speech, I wholeheartedly apologize. But now I am on the one, now I am the one making demands. I demand full ownership of my billion-dollar Wild N Out brand that I created, and they will continue to misuse and destroy without my leadership. I demand that the hate and backdoor bullying cease, and while we are at it, now that the truth is out, I demand an apology. Woo, okay.
I demand.
That was the Nick. I demand an apology. Now, that was Nick's first apology before, I guess, these people, the Jewish community, yanked his chain.
That's a strong, that ain't no apology. That's a strong man sounding off right there. That's a man.
That was a strong man sounding off. Exactly. There you go. There you go. Now,
right there. Go ahead.
Now, not even a day later, this was hours later, his entire tone changed. And some people are even questioning if he even wrote this. But nonetheless, it was posted on his social media, so we're going to go with this is his words. It says, first and foremost, I extend my deepest and most sincere apology to my Jewish sisters and brothers for the hurtful and divisive words that came out of my mouth during my interview with Richard Griffin. Richard Griffin is Professor Griff. So he went on to use this man's government name by calling him Richard Griffin, but okay. It says, they reinforce the worst stereotype. Now, he's talking about the words he used or the language on the podcast. They reinforce the worst stereotypes of a proud and magnificent people, and I feel ashamed of the uninformed and naive place that these words came from. The video of this interview has since been removed. I want to express my gratitude to the rabbis, community leaders, and institutions who reached out to me to help enlighten me instead of chastising me. I want to ensure my Jewish friends, new and old, that this is only the beginning of my education, and I am committed to deeper connections, more profound learning, and strengthening the bond between our two cultures today and every day going forward. This is the part, this is the last part I'm reading. This is the part that really kind of took me aback with the entire apology. This is Nick Cannon's words. On my podcast, I use words and reference literature I assume to be factual to uplift my community, instead turned out to be hateful propaganda and stereotypical rhetoric that pained another community. For this, I am deeply sorry, but now together we can write a new chapter of healing. Okay, and I digress. He made some other tweets later on, kind of blaming black people for turning their back on him and calling him a sellout. You know, he made some references that he was leaving this planet. You know, you guys can have this planet, so on and so forth. He started to play victim, in my opinion. But this is the conversation we have in family. You know, this is a teaching moment. This is something we can all learn from. I saw a lot of articles kind of juxtaposing what he said to Farrakhan and Lincoln, you know, a lot of these black celebrities, to Farrakhan and what he said. So it's a lot going on with this media manipulation. So give us a call, family. We definitely want to hear your opinion. The number is 929-477-1697. All right. So we go to our resident queen, the feminine divine energy we have on the show. Queen Rigel, what do you think, you know, about everything that you've heard? And I know you got a chance to watch the podcast. What do you think about the podcast itself and then Nick Cannon's apology?
Yes, yes, yes. Poor Nick. I mean, after listening to the podcast, because I heard the hype about it first, so of course I wanted to hear it for myself. And he did it to himself by interjecting so many times, like he was trying to impress Griff and I guess other listeners or other people that may feel and think like Griff. And I think he should have just stood his post. He was there to interview him and have a, I guess, maybe a discussion with him about his views. But she kept interjecting, which bothered me, because I'm like, Nick, just let the young man talk. Let him give out his information. But if he really didn't know, just like on his second interview, I mean his second apology, if he really was unsure of the information that he was reading, then why are you trying to play big boss and just started interjecting and just let Professor Griff just talk and just speak? I just think that that created a problem for me, and I think it ultimately ended up getting him in hot water. I think if he had just,
right,
you know, let Griff go on and just talk, you know, I don't think he would have been in as much hot water as he's in as far as being fired and have to first talk tough and then back down. I don't think he would have had to go through all of that had he just, you know, let the man come on as a guest, let him talk, let him give his spiel, and that's it. I mean, but he was really, I thought Nick was being a little too extra on there. That's my personal opinion. I just felt like he was being too extra. Not saying that his information was extra, but his personality was a little too extra to me. It sounded like he was trying to be more impressive or have, you know, make Griff and other people feel like, oh, yeah, Nick, you know, he riding with the community and all that. It seemed like he was looking
right
for those types of pats on the back versus just being genuine. You want him on here, you want him to give his information, let him give his information. This is shy. This is one time on your show. Let him speak and give his information. So I think, personally, I think by Nick doing so much talking, I think it actually kind of hurt the interview more so than anything, because he actually prevented Griff from really being able to explain the information. So in my opinion, the interview and the knowledge that was supposed to have been given wasn't given well. I don't think it was given well at all. I think a lot of good information was missed. A lot of opportunities was missed. I think certain points that Griff was going to make and tried to make, I think they were cut off, and he never was able to finish and circle back. So I think just overall, I think just it was a big flop. Because not only did you get fired, and now you are in this situation where now you have to try to, I guess, go meditate somewhere and regroup and apologize to everybody. Now the information that you was trying to give didn't even come forth correctly. Because I walked away feeling like, okay, they're not giving information well. And I don't think that that's Griff's case. I'm not that familiar with a lot of his lectures and things like that, so I can't necessarily say that for certain. But if I'm just going to go off of the podcast that Nick did, I will walk away saying, okay, he's not that good of a teacher. But I think the information was lost due to Nick being hype man. You know, so I think that was an unfortunate situation, and I reached out to Griff. I know we had talked to him before, well before this situation. I know we had talked with him on the side note for him to come on. I reached out to him again. Today wasn't a good day for him, so I don't know. Maybe we can get him on another time. But
right.
That's just my overall view as far as the podcast, as far as the apology goes. I hate to see that he was tough on one end. It's like he was just broken down. I don't know if they did, after he did that first one, somebody knocked on that door, somebody hollered at Mariah and was like, look, we got these babies here, you gonna do this, do that, because
right,
it was totally different on the second go round. And I hated to see that he had to do that. I hated to see he had to, you know, back down so strongly like that, when actually if he would have just allowed Griff to bring forth the information the correct way and in its full entirety, I mean, it's easy for me, you, and maybe other people to say the information that they're saying is no big deal, because we may already
right
have, our own knowledge. But if you think in terms of someone who have no knowledge of what they're saying, the information is not given out well. It's chopped up, and it's not in its entirety. It's not bringing forth a full story, in my opinion. I think it's too chopped up, and I think Nick interfered too much. So I just think that the information, he had no reason to apologize. You know, but because he did on this second round, I don't know. I'm wondering if they come and that somebody maybe came to see him, you know, or or when they talk to him, and because he is a little naive, maybe that was true. Maybe he is a little bit naive, and he's played his role. You know, he, you know, sometimes you can want to, sometimes you may want to feel like you're in the cool club, and you want to be in this position so bad that you just kind of play it off, and you do maybe, you know, maybe do some studying and all that. But maybe he, maybe he is a little bit naive to the point that maybe if they did come and talk to him, they was able to say, "See, you, this is where you're wrong here." This, and he didn't have enough information to rebuttal.
Right.
And left
to counter,
him in a state of saying and left him in a state of, "Well, you know what? I'm sorry. You know, maybe I am a little naive." So that's just how I see it. I can stop there, and I just can't wait to hear everybody else's opinion.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. And we'll get to the call lines here in 1 second. If you're just joining us, we are asking the family, how do you feel about, you know, the Nick Cannon apology for the comments that was made on his podcast? And we go to our brother, Mufasa Ra.
Yes,
what you
sir.
Think, man? What do you think about, you know, Nick Cannon's apology and, you know, the whole podcast, just everything? Let us know, brother. Make it plain for us.
All right. So I'm going to let everybody else beat up on him, and I'm going to be the one that try to give him the benefit of the doubt. I'm going to say that that ain't him that made that apology. Somebody else, like the real Nick Cannon, maybe he's duct taped somewhere. And somebody else is controlling his social media and putting that stuff out there. I hope that's the case, because just like, you know, y'all said, like Roger said, for a grown man to pump his brakes like that in less than 24 hours, I mean, maybe there was a knock at the door. Matter of fact, that knock may have came in the form of a man named Rabbi Abram Cooper. Because on one of Nick Cannon's tweets, he tweeted, "I just had the blessed opportunity to converse with Rabbi Abram Cooper, Director of Global Social Action. My first words to my brother was, I apologize for the hurt I caused the Jewish community." So maybe it was Rabbi Abram, Queen, right, the day that knocking at the door, you know? And maybe he's still in the canyon, still bound now. Bound down by Rabbi Cooper and his goons. Because I don't get it. I believe Nick Cannon is definitely, he is not a dumb brother. He is a wise fella. He's been speaking out on the black struggle for quite some time now. He's not a dummy. Even though he didn't express his thoughts, express it maybe as clear as you know, Griff would have said, if he had allowed Griff the opportunity to finish speaking, he's a learned man. He knew what he was saying. So it was nothing to apologize. And even in his statements, I heard nothing that needed an apology. You know, nothing. So I don't want to believe that's him that tweeted that out, the apology.
Facts.
Nothing you said deemed an apology. Now, if the rabbi and people on Viacom wanted to have a sit down and a discussion, they could have put that on their, you know, on their platform. You just had a discussion, that would have made better sense.
Right.
You know, just sit down and discuss it. I didn't hear anything. He said anything that was hateful. He said some things that they just may not agree with. This comes down to who are the Semitic people? Who really are the Jews? You know, and I'll leave that up to, you know, the listeners to study more upon that yourself. You know, if you ever want to look at, there was a video that's circling around on YouTube, and it's a brother, Dr. Khaled Muhammad. You need to look, pull that up. Let's pull up the greatest debate ever recorded with Dr. Khaled Muhammad. And in that video, Dr. Khaled debated with a rabbi and a Jewish scholar over who are, you know, the chosen people. So I'll let my listeners go back, pull it up. You guys listen to it, and we can maybe have another conversation about who the Semitic people are, the true Semitic people, the true Jews are. That's where this conversation needs to start at. You know, they would be mad. We should have been hurt by Nick Cannon's comments. But again, like I said, I didn't hear nothing he said that was so hateful. Maybe there was just, you know, some misunderstandings or some stuff that could have been cleared up. But they could have done that on the show. So I hope that it's not Nick Cannon that tweeted these apologies out. Hope he was a man enough to stand on his square. Because what he said at first, like he was going to sue them and he wanted his show back. And that's, you talking like a man now. But to swap in 24 hours,
right.
I mean, I guess Rabbi Cooper really brought some information. I want to see what this information was to make the grown man just flip his whole thought process like that so fast.
Yeah, he's
right.
Like,
Rabbi must have been.
Maybe I don't know, Rabbi.
Rabbi was preaching. Yeah,
exactly.
Rabbi was preaching. So that's where I'm at with that. I don't believe he said nothing that harsh that he had to apologize. And again, we need to do some more study on who should have really been mad by his true comments. What are those people? Who are those people? What are they called? You know, because I didn't hear anything he said so anti-Semitic and hateful.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Yeah, family. So we'll get to
is.
The call lines here in a second. Yeah, I just want to go in real quick, you know, because Nick Cannon, you know, I still consider Nick Cannon our brother. You know what I'm saying? I think, like Mufasa said, I think he's a smart brother. He's been on the conscious wave here lately. You know, he's been wearing a turban. He's been doing a lot of good work in the community. You see he had took over the Dr. Sebi documentary and that Nipsey was doing. And, you know, he was making moves. It seemed like he was doing some good things and really, you know, really standing on his square. As far as the apology, I can kind of understand. I ain't going to go too hard on him, brother, because I can understand on one hand, as, you know, I thought the first – I wouldn't call it an apology, but the first response was perfect. If he would have just left it at there, because, you know, he's in the industry where, yes, and he talked about it in his first response where, you know, he's worked with Jewish people. There's a lot of Jewish people in Hollywood. He considered them friends and whatnot. So I'm not going to go into that, but if that's the case, cool, I understand. His point was, you know, on the first response, it was kind of the tone where, you know, if I said something hurtful, I apologize. You know, as a civilized person, if I said something hurtful, I apologize, but I still stand by what I said. You know, and that was kind of the tone that I got, which is a fair response. You know,
exactly.
And if anybody wants to challenge that information, we can, you know, we can sit down and talk about it, and we could dialogue and see who has the information to back what was said. That is a fair response. Now, this last response, as far as the apology, I take issue with this because, you know, I consider myself part of the conscious community, and these are the words that I had a problem with. It says, on my podcast, I use words and reference literature I assume to be factual to uplift my community instead turned out to be hateful propaganda and stereotypical rhetoric that pained another community. Mm. Now, whoa. Now, see, when you go there and you start to disrespect the master teachers of our community and people who put in work and their sweat, blood, and tears and wrote books and gave lectures and did all these things for black people, when you start talking about that they it turned out to be hateful propaganda, are you serious? anybody who's ever been to a lecture, anybody who's ever listened to these master teachers like Dr. Francis Cress Welsin, Dr. James Smalls, Dr. John Henry Clark, Dr. Ben, any other names down the list, they all tell you this is history. These are just facts as we have researched, and there's nothing hateful about it. They don't even preach hate, right? They preach a love for their community and a love for the information. There's no hateful propaganda in none of the master teachers. And on the podcast, he did a lot of references to the ISIS papers and Dr. Francis Cress Welsin. I think he referenced like Hidden Colors, which is a documentary series on black history. But when you go as to far, when you call the leaders of the community and people who have put in work, you call that hateful propaganda and stereotypical rhetoric? No, I can't feel that.
Not he been offensive to them.
Exactly.
Not he been offensive on the other end.
Exactly.
And,
so that's
again,
my main
problem. How do you
problem.
Switch that up in such a quick period? How do you switch
exactly.
your stuff in such a quick period?
In such a quick,
well,
I mean, he switched so fast. So, you know, if you want to apologize, say, yeah, you know, if I hurt you, I apologize, whatever, whatever. But when you go to attack the leaders in the community that have been standing up for black people for years and you undermine their information and works, no, brother, we got a problem.
They had some twins tied up.
Yeah, you cannot. There had to be something.
They
but
had
you cannot do
and
that
Mariah
because,
tied up.
Right, because, again, Nick is in Hollywood. He knows who he's dealing with. He knows that the Jewish people are powerful in Hollywood. So it's like you said, Raiju, if you're going to do an interview with a personality like Griff, who is not beholden to any corporation or none of these media people, just be an interviewer and ask the questions and let Griff go in. You dig what I'm saying? That conversation is not for you, obviously, if you can't handle or articulate what you mean. You dig what I'm saying? That's not for you, Nick. We understand you on this woke wave, but if you can't handle the information and look these people in their eyes and stand on your square, then it's not for you, bro. You dig what I'm saying?
That's what I'm saying. Maybe that
you.
Wasn't him, y'all. Maybe just not him.
Maybe it wasn't.
I
you know,
just, even
maybe,
if it
maybe
wasn't,
maybe
I still think
like
it
that.
Wasn't for him. Even if that second apology wasn't him, I still think he showed some errors even on the podcast, though. That's why I'm like, he should have just allowed this man to speak and provide the information.
Right.
Sit back.
And then let me
we didn't need them all on there like that, hyping up.
Right. So
like
let me just say this. Right, and let me just say this. When it comes to the Jewish community and the black community, we do not have a paralleled history. Our oppression and whatnot is not even close because a Jewish person, and this is fact, a lot of them can change their last name and they can integrate into white society. And if you want to talk about the Jewish community, they have a history of anti-black racism. When you talk about Al Jolson, who was a Jewish person who was named the King of Blackface, he was one of the first performers to do blackface to undermine and ridicule and mock black people. This is a Jewish man. Not to mention the Jews play in Hollywood, how they had a role in the slave trade. I mean, we could go on and on of documented facts, and this is not anti-Semitic, because this is just history. This is facts. And then like they touched on the podcast, Semitic is really just a term for black. That is what they use. So we cannot be anti-Semitic. You dig what I'm saying? But
let me add this
to
too.
Go ahead.
This is not an argument because I've even spoken to people who have been they're Jewish from Israel.
Right.
And they
right.
don't
so
see far. they don't even see the African American struggle the same. So
it's
every
not.
Jewish is not going
it's not.
It, so because you're gonna have some people that will say it is the same and that will compare it. But
mm-hmm.
I'm saying that there
no.
even are some Jews that don't even compare it and think it's the same. I've spoken
No.
Personally, with one.
Right. It's not even close, and we don't want to get into, you know, the oppression Olympics. Oh, we was more oppressed than that. But it's not even close. When you talk about the Holocaust in Germany and you talk about the Holocaust with the transatlantic slave trade and you talk about the plight of black people in America, it's not even close. So don't run that game of we need to do this and do that. There's a long history of anti-black racism in the Jewish community, and we should demand an apology from them because they want to hold Nick accountable. Let's, you know, hold some rabbis accountable. But I digress.
You know what?
Let my brother Mufasa.
That's
go,
why.
And then we'll get to the call.
I was just going to say, that's why I hope at some point we should have a conversation. Just like when Kareem White said she talked to some Jewish people. We need to have the conversation still on. Why do these particular people call themselves Jews? Are you Jew?
Right.
Are you a Jew or are you Jewish? You know, let's
right.
have, I mean, it's just a conversation to have. There's no reason to get upset and mad about
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
And then you sit,
yes,
just sit back and,
yes.
and tell, and let's figure out who are the for real Jews.
Right.
You know?
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. And like somebody suggested, I want to say, Elijah, I think it might have been Farrakhan's grandson. I think he may have posted something about saying basically, why not set up some type of meeting with Farrakhan? You know, Farrakhan has been calling to meet with these people like Alan Dershowitz, who's the Jewish lawyer, very prominent man. Just set up some type of meeting and we can show and prove with the information. You dig what I'm saying? It's really that simple. Just show and prove with the information, and we can bring it forth to the people. But no, they don't want to do that. They just want to discredit you. And if you speak up and talk about their history, then you're anti-Semitic. No, fam, we're not doing that. So I digress. We can hit the call lines, family. We are talking about what do you think about Nick's canon apology. The number is 929-477-1697. Callers, please make it plain because we want to try to get to all the callers in the time that we have allotted. So make it plain with your question or comment. Let's go.
Area code 314-381. Call you on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or a comment?
Well, let me hurry up because I want my watermelon to get hot.
There you go.
Thanks for calling in, caller.
Yes, indeed.
Well, see, here's the thing. People insult black conservatives that way, too. And they don't, you know, things come around. But as far as apologizing, Jesse Jackson apologized. Michael Jackson apologized. Imus apologized. Jimmy the Greek apologized. Oprah apologized. She apologized when she made that statement about not eating hamburgers anymore. She had to apologize to the beef industry. That's the
right.
way it
That's
is.
True.
If
That's
Nick
true.
Wants to see, here's the thing. Where was what he was going to talk about to be given to the host? That's the way you do those things. You had a Nation of Islam member over at Sumner High School, got up on stage and started talking to the students off the hip, and said some things, and they ain't never been invited back over there. I took Ashwa Kwesi
right.
to Sumner. I took in Normandy High School. I took the other brother, Ronoka Rashidi. In every case, I had to present his bio and what he's going to talk about. They ain't going to let you go up there and talk to kids any old way. So that's just the way it is. And another point, these young
right.
people nowadays don't want to take advice from elders because what he done... He should have been schooled not to do things like that. I mean, Abraham Foxman with the Anti-Defamation League told black preachers not to attend the Million Man March, and they didn't go, I don't think. But Abraham Foxman was their leader. And Minister Farrakhan's secret relationship of blacks and Jews, you can't buy that on Amazon no more unless you want to pay about $900
right.
and buy it for somebody personally. And then
right,
there's
right.
books out there that rebut what he's saying of what's being said in that book. Same way it was with like Mary Leklosich when she came out with the book, Not Out of Africa. That's the way it is. So I just want to make, and you know, as far as who's who and so forth, actually Semitic is a language. It ain't nothing to do with no race of people. That's a Bible story. But you have the same squabble that goes on with China and Japan. And those squabbles goes on with ethnic groups all across the planet. So next time, I doubt if it be it next time, because you trying to operate on somebody else's platform. Get your own platform. Gil Norris had his. Lester Fick Nelson, he had his platform. Tony Brown had Tony Brown Journals. And you had another brother by the name Butler. I can't think of his first name. He had his platform.
That's right.
That's right. Let me get back to my watermelon.
Yes, indeed.
Did y'all y'all found any money in your watermelon? I found some money in mine.
Oh, okay. Not yet. I still got a couple. I got one more to cut.
All right.
Yes,
all right, anyway, that's what I got to say about that.
Yes, indeed. Appreciate you, Carla.
Thank you.
Nice meeting y'all the other day.
Yes, you too.
And by the way, you got a beautiful family. Those two twins. I really enjoyed their presence. I really did. Thank you very much.
Yes, indeed. I appreciate it.
We was hoping we could have caught you again, but it was one of them wild weeks. So we get together again. Hopefully.
Yeah, we'll get you next time. Yes, sir. We'll get you next time. Just quickly, in response to what the caller said, that's why I said I don't really have a problem with an apology per se, but it's the way you present the apology, because apology is a part of the game, right? You know, you get caught up, you misslip, you may have to just apologize and keep it moving and still do what you do. But like I say, the differences in what I read the first statement versus the second statement was totally different. You dig what I'm saying? But yeah, the apology, you know, that's part of the game, and I get that part. But you don't throw the master teachers and folks like that under the bus, in my opinion, you know. But I digress. Y'all want to respond? We can hit the call lines. Keep it moving.
Okay. Area code 319. Area code 319-572. Caller, you are on with Collect the Minds Radio. Do you have a question or comment?
Oh, y'all just finding out that you're supposed to be sorry for everything you do? Where you're supposed to apologize to everybody? What is this, like a new version of the Popeye movie? Motherfuckers just sit around, you owe him an apology. Rabbi probably wouldn't have told him to say, if you don't apologize, you ain't going to work in Hollywood again, since they do run Hollywood.
That's an anti-Semitic statement. No, I'm just joking.
I don't care. But
I'm just joking.
And I ain't sorry for saying it. And then I don't know any white person who would trade their whiteness for black skin or dark, you know. So what he was saying was just stupid. Anyway,
talking about what
I don't know any white person. Yeah, I don't see any. I don't know of any white people who was like, yeah, I want to trade the black. I want to have black skin. No,
well, shit, they tan.
They ain't giving
all
up that whiteness.
They're trying.
They're trying to tan
all the time. Spray on tan, but I'm not going to go there.
Even these white people who run around here trying to act black. They don't want black skin for real. They're going to draw a line somewhere. But it's just messed up where when you got to speak your mind nowadays, you got to come back with an apology. I'm like this. I hurt your feelings for telling you the truth, and so be it. So
be a man.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you, bro.
Yeah.
Be a man and stand on it. That's what I say. I would show love to know what the rabbi told him that switched his mind up so fast.
You ain't gonna work here no more if you don't apologize for that what you said. So
okay.
And of course, Colin, everybody knows about it.
Yes, indeed. Right on, Colin. Appreciate it. Yes, indeed, family.
You know,
so, yeah, if you're just joining us, family, go ahead, brother.
No, I was going to say, you know, it's tweets, Brother Kev, just in the tweets alone, naming Professor Griff by his government name. Does that sound like something that Nick Cannon would have said? Like, is he okaying those statements? Or is it hijacking?
Right.
Like, what's going on?
Yeah, that was weird. When he called Professor Griff Richard Griffin, that was very weird. And
yeah.
I was looking at it like, you know, really? But, you
yeah,
know.
Who's really controlling that Twitter?
Exactly. Exactly.
Viacom.
Exactly.
Viacom.
Viacom, yeah. That could be. So, I mean, this just goes to show, I mean, the power dynamic. Nick, you know, thought he was a boss and thought he, you know, which the brother's still a boss. I'm not going to take that away from him in a certain sense. But when we talk about the power dynamic between Hollywood and Blacks and Jews and, you know, other folks, we see what a real power lie, unfortunately. You know what I'm saying? Unfortunately, I wish the brother could have stood on it. And we, you know, the people would have rolled for him, but, you know, we don't have a mechanism, I guess, in place to really hold him down economically as a people. But he still would have been on the right side, you know what I'm saying? And like I asked the question, how much money do you need to speak the truth? You feel me? That's a question. How much money do you need to speak the truth and stand on your truth? And if it's challenged, then, you know, you back it up with the facts. And if you're wrong, you're wrong. If you're right, you're right. Like, you know, you just stand on it and be backed by the information, you know. But here we are.
Right now.
You know what I'm saying? Here we are. So, yeah, let's hit the call line, see what's up.
Area code 315-767. Call you on the Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or comment?
Hey, Collective Minds.
Hey, caller.
Hey, peace, caller.
Yeah.
Peace.
Yeah, I don't have much to say on this. It's just sad when, and you know, we're all about this racism and the division, and Nick Cannon can say whatever he wants about white people. White people can't say nothing about black people. Nobody can say nothing about a Jewish person whatsoever. But we're all supposed to be
all gays.
So it makes any sense.
All gays.
But
not say nothing about gays.
I ain't got nothing to say on it. I ain't got nothing to say on it.
Okay.
All right. Yes, indeed. Now, just in response, real quick. The thing is, when we talk about rhetoric versus actions, right? So my thing is, I'm not really concerned about the rhetoric. I'm concerned about the actions. Yeah, Nick may have said some things, or any other black person may have said some things, but we're talking about actions. So the actions speak louder than words. So when you talk about, you know, saying things about black people, I'm not really concerned about that either. What are the actions that are going on? You dig what I'm saying? What are the actions? And the actions of people who speak derogatory about black people, those actions go a lot further than just their words. And me, I'm not with Salison because, like I've always said, I prefer my racists to be up front. I like to know what I'm dealing with. I don't want nobody smiling in my face, acting like they're my friend, but secretly plotting against me. So I prefer my racism up front. That's just me. So I feel like people should be able to say whatever they want, and that way we know where they stand, and it's no secret. You know what I'm saying? But that's just Cosmic Kev. But, you know, I digress.
Area code 314-438. Caller, you're on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or a comment? Okay, my name is 314-438. Okay, just listening. Okay, area code 314-397. Caller, you're on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or a comment?
Just the listener.
All right, thank you.
All and right, yes, indeed. Appreciate it.
Area 314-750. Caller, you're on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or a comment?
Yes, this is Sister Niambe. Greetings to all. Assalamu alaikum, peace, all of that.
Well, I like it a lot. Yes, indeed.
You know, I just get exhausted just even hearing about this kind of stuff. It's so old. It's so tired. It's so overplayed. I mean,
right.
I mean, it's such a game. I mean, Stevie Wonder can see it. It's the same play over and over and over again. I mean,
That's right.
You know, he's being made. See, I don't know anything about, like, I don't indulge in what do you call it? I don't know any of this kind of entertainment, just for lack of a better word. I don't look at wilding out.
Right.
I don't, like, even when this stuff comes out, like, I only know about it if somebody asks me, did you hear about what happened to so-and-so? Because I'm so not interested in anything except for the black man and woman building a world of our own that this stuff escapes me until somebody brings it to my attention. But
that's right.
What's so ridiculous about it is that we must understand that, you know, you're apologizing for discovering who the real devil is. And so when Nick Cannon was told, because I didn't even know, I just learned here that he was told, if you don't apologize, you won't work in Hollywood anymore. I mean, you don't have enough money? You can't take what
right.
you already have and make that grow? I mean, so
right.
why do you
right.
need to apologize, just, you know, to, I mean, keep working amongst them and keep living amongst them and keep, you know, it just doesn't make sense to me. So, I mean,
right.
and
exactly.
then he apologized and he still is out of a job. So now what?
Right.
I mean, but that
right.
we know that's how this devil, this is how the enemy works. He makes you
mm-hmm.
promises that he knows he's not going to keep. And so the other thing is that, you were saying, someone was saying, you know, they like their races out front. And, yeah, I'm with you on that. But I must say, too, I've never come across a Caucasian who their true nature hasn't always come out. I've never, even the ones that try to act like they want to be your friends. And the moment you say
right.
something they don't like, their true nature comes out. I used to go to school with this homosexual, Caucasian homosexual, and he was raised by racist parents. I mean, he used to hang with another homosexual who was black. But I used to always call him, you know, an undercover racist because he would always say little stuff. I mean, but his family nurtured him that way. He was nurtured and in a home that was racist. So even though he wanted to hang with black people, his nature, he couldn't hide it. So,
right.
you know, if we just pay attention, they'll always reveal who they are. I mean, they can't help it. You know, they can't help it. But I understand what you're saying because like Dr. Ava said today, we're in such a state of mental blind, deaf, and dumbness, it can be right before our eyes and we'll miss it. So,
that's
yeah,
right.
You know, now, you know, Allah has allowed it to where it's just blatant. It's just blatant. And so, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So many
mm-hmm.
of our people, they do need that kind of blatant, you know, racism. So I'll just leave it there. Thank you
right.
for allowing me to make my comment.
Yes, indeed. Thank you.
I want to ask you one quick question, if you don't mind. One quick question. If you have time. You still there, sister?
Yes, sir.
What are your thoughts on, I made a comment earlier about, you know, us saying Jewish people, that, you know, these Jewish people, he offended the Jewish people. And I said, that's the conversation we need to talk about some more, like, who is really a Jew? These people that own these corporations, are they really Jews?
You know, we know that the real Jews, as the Honorable Minister Farrakhan has said, I was just watching a clip just before I called in where he was saying that, you know, your religion it's not what you say. It is what, you know, it's what you practice. It's what you live on a daily basis. You know, we say Islam is a way of life. It's the same for any so-called religion. So because Minister Farrakhan has already unsheathed them. So if mainstream wants to keep falling for offending Jewish people, if they want to keep falling for that, you know, a lot of them keep falling for that because Minister Farrakhan has already unsheathed them. They are not the real Jews. They are in name, going in name only, you know. So just that.
Right. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. And yeah, and then I mean, you know, Jewish is also a faith. You know what I'm saying? People try to put that on the you know, the Jewish people, the pale Jew. They try to put that on them, but Jewish is a faith. It's a religion, and like the other caller said, Semitic is actually a language. That refers to an African Semitic language. So it's a lot of deception with the words. It's a lot of things that's going on. I think in Nick's case, it's really an example of, you know, Nick trying to play both sides of the fence because he's beholden to them to a certain degree. You know, he has Jewish friends and white friends and things like that, and people in his inner circle who he says, you know, have put him on, you know, when he was a young person. You know, these Jewish people, what they do, this is the game that they run. They find black talent. See, the talent is in the black folks, the black gold, the people, the entertainers, the rappers, the actors. These are the talents that drive the culture and society forward. Now, what they do, they'll get a white handler or a Jewish handler to bring them on and make a deal, right? And then, you know, you get riches. You know the story of getting riches and getting all these things that you desire from, a.k.a. the devil. He gives you these things in order to seduce you, right? And then once you're in those grasps, then it's hard to kind of wiggle out. I think from my perspective, Nick was in a situation where he was becoming woke over the past few years and thought that he could go out on a limb and really speak truth to power. But as we see, like when your dog walking too fast, you got to yank his chain. You feel me? When your dog getting out of line, you got to yank the chain. You tell him to come on back. And that's what happened in this case. Nick, you know, he was trying to play both sides. And when you trying to do that, just pick a side and stay on, brother. You feel what I'm saying? Just pick a side and stay on that side. If you have white friends that you don't want to offend and you this, just stay over there. It's cool. Do what you got to do behind the scenes, you know, do things for the community. Do what you got to do. But that conversation, as we see, was way above his pay grade. You see what I'm saying? And he was not in a position, if he wasn't willing, to let those material things go and some of that money go. If you're not in a position to give up that lifestyle, and the elders teach us that this information is nothing to play with. You feel what I'm saying? You can get death threats behind this information because it's so powerful, because they don't want the masses waking up, right? They killed, you know, a lot of our ancestors and elders. They killed a lot of people for speaking truth. You dig what I'm saying? They killed a lot of them, so this information is nothing to play with. You can die behind this information because it's so powerful. And Nick, I don't think he fully grasped how powerful the truth is, right? In this particular world, because the world that is being ruled by deceit, deception, lies, propaganda, all these things. So when you speak truth, that is a threat to the very people who run the world. So, of course, yes, if you speak truth, you're on a list. You're being watched. They'll have to bring you back. And with Nick Cannon having such a mainstream platform, they did not want that information out like that, right? He's referencing the ISIS paper by Dr. Francis Cress Wilson. They're talking about Hidden Colors. They brought up the Minister Farrakhan, speaking highly of him. All these things are going into mainstream households, and they saw this as a threat. So, again, they had to yank
the chain.
That's
why I don't think Nick, someone said that Nick knew who he was dealing with because he in the entertainment world, but I don't think he did fully know. They showed him, though.
He probably did, and that is his naivete,
exactly.
For not understanding who he's dealing with. That's being naive because you all up in these people, right? You all up in these people houses, going to Jewish weddings and these different, you know, y'all hanging out and doing these things, whatever y'all do, and he thinking it's all sweet, right?
Exactly.
He thinking it's all sweet when it's not.
He think he's been accepted.
You dig what I'm saying? He thought he's been accepted, and he can go out and just, you know, do whatever and say whatever. No. When you're in that position and they put you on like that, brother, you got to know what you're playing with, you know?
I thought something else out there just to be a part of, you know, my conspiracy on this whole situation. Now, remember, Nick Cannon been portraying this role as someone who's down for the cause, right? Now,
mm-hmm.
I also remember him saying in one of his
we
episodes
got you, Pete.
Of Cannon's class where he was talking about, there's a brother on there from the nation, Brother River Islam, and he's having this discussion about black men sleeping with white women, and Nick Cannon was doing his hardest to defend sleeping around with white women. So I say all
right.
That to say,
yep. Yep.
Sometimes people can be acting and portraying a certain way, but this whole thing could be a setup to show another way that this system can demasculate a black man. You have Nick come out here saying, look at these strong comments. Then a few days later, on July 4th, he even took a picture with Minister Farrakhan. You know,
right.
It's the second time because the week before this, it was the NFL brother who, you know, Deshaun Jackson, who tweeted out some things that was, you know, quote unquote, anti-Semitic. And then he said something falling behind that about Minister Farrakhan. Now, both of these situations, after this stuff happened, these brothers have been linked, you know, taking a picture or made a comment about Minister Farrakhan. So these evil people these people who are in control of things could also be using the situation to set them brothers up. And then I already know, like, look, turn on your people. We're going to show just how easy it is, you know, flip you another direction, demasculate the black man, and, you know, make black people look bad.
Mm.
So, you know, I hate to say it, but, I mean, this is the is could be a part of. They could be working right along with them.
Man.
You get what I'm
bro,
saying? I know that's,
yeah,
that's sad to say, but...
I totally get it, but, you know, exactly. And one of the teachers said a long time ago that any black person who is on TV, especially anyone that's on mainstream TV, unfortunately, they've been compromised, especially here lately. You know, a lot of black celebrities and a lot of black athletes and these folks, a lot of them have been compromised, unfortunately. And they're put in the forefront, you know, to kind of be the spokesperson for black people. But really, at a lot of times, these people have no connections to the streets. And when I say streets, I just mean, you know, grassroots black people. They're out of touch. And a lot of these rappers as well, you know, they're not in touch with the people. You dig what I'm saying? And, who knows what, you know, what could have been going on with this situation, but it seems I'm questioning a lot of things and just keeping a good eye on it, because who knows how Nick Cannon is going to come back from this. Is he going to denounce Farrakhan now, right? That's the question. Is he going to denounce the minister? Like, that would be ludicrous. Is he going
to
denounce
these,
you know?
Come on,
well, what
with
is
his
going
lips
on?
Sold up, haircut short. He gonna wear he gonna keep wearing them suits. Let's get P on real fast. P want to say right. something. Yeah. Hey, P, you let back on. P what back you got to say?
Listen, let me tell you this now.
Yes, sir.
See.
He's shooting from the hip.
There's two Jews. There's Jews the religion, and there's Jews the club. Fidel
right.
Castro was a Jew. He was a Christian by day and Moreno at night. John Henry Clark says that. Blacks did not start Jews the Club.
Right.
I'm going to leave it
right.
with that.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
Okay,
and that's true. It's Jews the Club. There's a difference. Sammy Davis Jr. was a Jew, right?
Was a Jew. Whoopi Goldberg say she's a Jew. Whoopi
right.
Goldberg
yeah.
claims to be a Jew.
But when we talking about
Ben
the club, yeah,
right.
Dr. Ben, when you talking about the club, that's
the
a
club,
whole
exactly.
different ball game.
There you go. There you go.
And see what
go.
The man said. Well, see, here's the thing. Griff should have, like I told you, Griff, being the elder, should have asked them about what he was getting ready to talk about and then filter out things that wouldn't cause a problem. Regardless of what you think, you can go start your own nation. You're going to have the same obstacles that you presented with today. It's people in this world, ethnic groups, that control
right.
things. And those are the things
right.
you need to move forward. If they don't want to sell it to you, they ain't going to sell it to you. You got word out now at some of these gun club dealers are not selling certain guns to blacks. Because blacks on
black,
YouTube
right.
and everything else talking about they going to kill whites. What fool going to sell somebody a weapon to kill themselves? It ain't going
right,
to happen.
Yeah, no, I mean, right, I understand that. But you also have white people on YouTube saying the same thing about black people. So it's like, you know, I get what they kind of saying, but dad, you kind of painting the whole race. You don't want to sell guns to a few black people, to black people because a few saying that they go kill some white people, like
you
know
what you know what it takes for
the
change.
The white people saying they gonna kill blacks.
Right.
Exactly.
You know what changes that on both sides is when those who don't feel that way call out those who are saying those things. That's what it takes. If you don't,
right,
you know
right.
how you people say if you silent, you agree? Well, if you don't agree, make noise. Say, look, I ain't with those blacks over there talking about killing whitey. Hey,
right.
what did Obama do with Reverend Wright? He disowned him. He disowned Farrakhan.
Yeah,
right?
Right. Right.
He had to.
Yeah, he had to.
Yeah, they made
Until
it.
Until you
made
get
it
to the
too.
Point where
yeah.
you can finance your own stuff. And you can manufacture
right.
your own needs. That's the position you're going to be in.
Yep.
Make the best of it. All right, look,
yeah.
I ain't calling back no more.
Yes, you did. We appreciate it.
All right,
I
see you. Be careful.
Yes, indeed. So if you're just joining us, family, we are talking about Nick Cannon's apology. You know, he did the podcast with Professor Griff, Richard Griffin, as he called him, which is crazy.
Damn.
He did the interview. I wouldn't disrespect Professor Griff by calling him that, but he did the interview.
Yeah, that's
they
a 60-year-old man.
Yeah, they got into, some talks about Jewish, and they mentioned bankers and Jewish running Hollywood. They mentioned the monetary system. And he ruffled some feathers in the Jewish community in Hollywood, and they had to reel him on back. You know what I'm saying? They had
hey,
to reel him on back. Go ahead.
I just wanted to add this on real quick because, you know, like we said earlier, you know, we have an, you know, Professor Griffin's our guy. So I want to shout out his YouTube channel, Serious Minds on YouTube. Serious Minds.
Right.
He actually made a couple of videos addressing this situation. So if you want
yes,
to hear what Professor Griff said about it, you know, you can access his YouTube channel, Serious Minds, Professor Griff. You'll find them.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, that was good to put that out there. Yeah. So he did address it. And like I say, Griff is a G. He's been putting in work. This man is an author. He has numerous books. Like, he doesn't have to bite his tongue, obviously, as we've seen from his Public Enemy days. This man is not like Nick. He's not beholden to no corporation. You know, you got to be.
He ain't out on Nickelodeon trying to sing and dance.
He's not out. He's not doing all that. You know what I'm saying? He's sacrificing. He will tell you, you know, he said this numerous times that he sacrificed a lot by standing on his square, which in this world you're going to sacrifice if you speak the truth. Remember, Muhammad Ali spoke truth. They took that man title, and he lost millions of dollars because he could not fight. You dig what I'm saying? This is what happens in this world when someone speaks truth. You have to be prepared for the consequences. Or you could tuck your tail and run. You dig what I'm saying? It's up to you, but there are going to be consequences for speaking the truth. And that's just, you know, that's just history right
and
there.
And just to add on to that, too, and then we'll try to get maybe one more call before we end the show. But, yeah. I mean, consequences doesn't necessarily have to be a bad thing. It's just a reaction to what happened. And it, you don't have to see
right.
it as a bad thing because what we right, said
right.
before, you don't have, what you want to do is get to the point where you can detach from the material things. Because the material
there
things don't say you are successful. It socially, they may credit you as successful, but it's not about that. So be able to,
right.
you, like Griff, he like, I'm not worried about that. I take whatever
exactly.
you're going to take from me, and I'm going to stand on the truth, what's solid. You know, so he's not worried
That's
about,
right.
like, what Nick is concerned about. Well, I don't want to speak for him because, like, he do have a family. They may have them twins tied up somewhere. But so it could be
right.
about his family. But, you know, if he's concerned about the job and the hosting and his social image, then that's not good. You know, he needs
That's
to detach
right.
away from those things. And like one of the other callers said, take what you already have and plant seeds
yeah.
with that. Plant seeds
right.
with that. If not, if
right.
even if you don't want to do that, detach from the material things. You got enough money to still live comfortably. You know, you still have enough to go buy you a 4-bedroom house, you know, and be okay. You know, shop like the regular folks. Just live a more of a common lifestyle. If you know, instead of jeopardizing your truth just to say, okay, I'm on TV, or just
right.
to say I got a bigger house than most folks. You know, so I just think it's about a mentality. You know, what is your true reason for apologizing? Is your true reason for apologizing is so that you can maintain this social lifestyle?
Exactly.
What is
and
your
that's
true?
What
is your true reason?
What is right? Did they threaten your life or did they threaten your life?
Threaten your lifestyle.
Right.
Exactly.
Life or
right.
lifestyle?
Right. Exactly.
Saying?
Right.
Lifestyle. Did they threaten to put you out of work in Hollywood?
Right. Exactly.
You know. Your lifestyle, oh, you're not going to be getting a big check, so you're not going to get this and that.
Right.
But, again, you know.
Your lifestyle.
Which one is
up
it?
Up in the Jewish club.
Live the life.
So,
just to live this
yeah.
here lifestyle.
That's right.
Okay, let's get one more caller. We having too much fun. Area code 609-310. Caller, are you on with Collective Minds Radio? Do you have a question, comment, or are you just a listener?
Question, comment, and then a question.
Okay.
Yes,
thanks for calling.
Okay, so the comment was. Now, when you say stuff that we all know, you have to watch what you say and how you say it. Because what
That's
might
right.
not offend me may offend you and may offend whoever else is on the radio listening.
Yeah.
So you have to watch
yeah,
what you say and how you say it, especially when you're in a professional world. And y'all already know, you just asked the question, but you already know the answer. It's about the lifestyle that he living. He trying to keep, you know what I'm saying, that
right.
apology. But the thing
right,
is,
right.
you got to be sincere about it. But the first thing before he even made an apology, You're supposed to, if you say something, you have to watch what you say. And if you say it, you could be truthful about it, but you have to know how to say it to not.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because, like I said, what may offend you might be like, may not offend me. You might be like, wow, that's messed up. I ain't never speaking to her again. You know what I'm saying? Like that. You
exactly,
know,
right.
Everybody has their own opinion to it. You know what I mean?
That's right. Yeah.
So but
you
know what?
You got to know what you're saying, and you got to mean what you're saying. That's how you got to roll with it.
But, Carla, don't you agree that if this man put something, I'm talking about Nick Cannon, he put something out there. I mean, what can this grown man, what information could have dropped on this grown man in such a short period of time? We think it was less than 24 hours for him to just really pump the brakes and do a reversal and say how much he, how sorry he was, how he was so uninformed.
Did you just hear what I said? It's about that lifestyle. He's trying to keep that lifestyle. He thought about it when they like, oh, we dropping your rate, we dropping everything. Come on now, it's about that lifestyle. You asked me a question.
Like, hold on.
I'm giving you the answer. It's about that lifestyle. He's not trying to lose that lifestyle and them big cars and that money. He may have enough money, but it may not be. What to us is like shit. It damn so, Nick, I ain't mad at you, but you can give me a couple of them dollars. But you know what I'm saying? But I'm just saying, you know, he got.
Yeah.
You know, he got more money than we got. So he the lifestyle, you know what I'm saying? He ain't trying to lose that. But that's why I say when you say stuff and you put it out of here, because we all guilty of it. We say stuff and our mouth get us in trouble. And before you know it, we like, oh, shit, I should have said it like that. I ain't mean it like that, but I damn it came out like that. So that's what happened.
Right.
Sometimes you say something, you come out a different way, you know?
Yeah, yes, indeed, Colin. Yep, I agree. Yes, indeed. Right on, Carla. We
appreciate it.
Yes, indeed. So, yeah, I mean, that's the thing, because I understand, like the caller said, you cannot tell somebody what they're offended by. That's one thing I kind of hold true to. So they may have been offended or whatever, but we know, you know, from my opinion, I know that this is a game, like the caller said. But, again, in order to play the game, if you did offend them, you know, my bag, I offended you. I didn't mean to, but I stick by my words. You know, if I offended you, I'm sorry, but I have to stick with what I know. You know what I'm saying? That is a real gentleman's apology. You dig what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If I offended you, I'm sorry. But hey,
you know what?
You know, it is
Brother
what it
Kevin,
is. Yeah.
Like the caller said, it's how you say it. So, like,
exactly.
And I agree with you guys. If you want to say, my intent was not to be offensive to anyone.
There you go.
Then I apologize if I have offended you. But you also have to know, too, Carla, and everybody out there that's listening, this is why I even teach my kids. This is a good reminder. You is not going to be able to please everybody all the time anyway. You can be the juiciest, sweetest, ripest peach out there, but somebody's still going to turn around and say, I don't like peaches. So it don't really matter a lot of times what you're going to say, because you're not going to please everybody anyway, even if he said it extremely nice.
Exactly.
And
very
pleasant. It's going to still be somebody say, I don't like peaches.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the best peach, the best peach out there. So it's just it is what it is. But it's okay.
And I think
I was just going to reiterate that as far as the apology goes, it's okay to say I'm not. My intent is not to be offensive, because if that's not your intent, but if your intent is just to provide information but not to be offensive, then just say my intent is not to be offensive, because you're going to offend somebody anyway, because everybody ain't going to like peaches.
Yeah, that's a fact. And I think you made a good point, because the thing is, you have to be prepared to articulate your ideas in front of these people's face. Right? This is how it goes down. When you was like, well, when they pull him to the side and they started rebutting what he was saying, did he have the knowledge and information to rebuttal and combat what they said?
He didn't. That's why he had to apologize.
Exactly. If you did, you can stand in your square and have a conversation with these people and look them in their eyes and stand on their square. Now, that takes a lot of testicular fortitude to do that, but this is what we're dealing with. You have to be in a position to back what you're saying and stand on it. You know what I'm saying? But, again, if he was pulled to the side and wasn't able to articulate what was said in the podcast, then they got him. You know, he started bucking his eyes and started bowing down and groveling and, oh, I'm sorry. You know, I didn't know that, this and that. Then they got you. You know what I'm saying? I tell people all the time, the war is not always physical. The war is in your everyday interactions with people. Every conversation, every interaction is a type of war because we are all jockeying for a position. So when, and again, we live in a racial dynamic. So when black people are around white people, how do you act? How do you acquiesce or do you stand on your square? It's an energy. You don't have to be hostile towards anybody, but how are you coming off? How's your energy? Are you laughing at jokes that ain't funny? Or you just going along to get along? Are you doing a lot of smiling and this and that? Like, these things translate into the bigger picture, but this is where the war starts. Are you, you know, do you start saying all lives matter when you get around them? You dig what I'm saying? Like, what type of person are you when you have one-on-one interactions with these people? Because that translates into the bigger picture. Because if you're acting like you're less than or you giving up power to them just in regular conversations, it could be at the store, it could be at the park, it could be at the water cooler at work. If you're giving up your power and they can sense that, then that's what it is. You're giving up your power on a large scale. So we have to be mindful that every time we're in interactions, we have to be able to stand on our square, articulate things, and that comes with studying. You feel what I'm saying? That comes with reading. That comes with meditating. That comes with getting in tune. That comes with knowledge of self, where you can be in your proper persona as a black man and woman, as a universal being on this planet, and nobody can tell you different. You know what I'm saying? That comes with a certain level of confidence, but you got to do the work to get to that level. You see what I'm saying? So that's where this all begins, in those one-on-one interactions. And it seems like Rigel said, somebody may have pulled Nick to the side, and he wasn't able to defend what he was saying on that podcast without stuttering or without, you know, not holding your own. You see, so it looks like that was the situation. But yeah, we got to realize, man, this is a, you know, this is a war. Just not just everyday interactions. Just living as a human being on this planet, you gonna have opposition to something. Something is going to be in opposition, and you have to be prepared to stand up and fight for that. You know what I'm saying? You know. So I digress. We coming down to the last 7 minutes. Y'all got any final thoughts? What's up? What is it gonna look like when Nick resurfaces and get back on the show?
If he do resurface, he better resurface on Revolt. He better go over there. P. Diddy didn't already offer him the opportunity to bring his talents over there. So that's what he needs to show back up. I'm still hoping the real Nick Cannon is somebody of consciousness and will pop back up in the next day or so and be like, look, that was not me tweeting that out. Y'all know I ain't rocking with that. I stand by what I said in the beginning. You know what I'm saying? I want to take my talents over to Revolt.
To Revolt.
So that would be.
Now, let me ask you this real quick. Do you think he's going to denounce the minister now?
He already did, in a sense.
Kind of.
Yeah, he did. So.
Kind of.
I don't know. I mean, you never can say what somebody will or won't do. So,
yeah, that's true.
You know,
that's
why I say I'm just kind of sitting back and seeing if it'll come out. I want to see the man come out and speak. I want to be able to see him in his face and see what he say. Like right now, we just run off some stuff we read off social media.
Some posts.
So until you can see a person, and see what they saying. You know, I'm gonna hold my judgment to then. I ain't gonna bash
right,
too
yeah.
hard. I'm just saying what could have happened if that's the case. How I feel, but
right.
I'm gonna wait till I can hear him verbally express himself and talk to us, and then
right.
if they come out, you know, if it's real, his apology was real and sincere and all that. Then my next thing is I want to see who Rabbi Abram Cooper is, because
that's right.
a bad dude right there.
That's a bad dude.
That's a bad rabbi there.
He didn't necessarily have to be a bad dude. It's just that Nick was in deep waters. And I bet that same, is this say for instance, if this scenario that we're talking about was actual, he couldn't have brought that same stuff to Griff.
Exactly.
I bet it would have went down. Like, I bet Griff would have been able to say, nah, my man, this is that. It would have been different.
Right.
Nick, on the other
right,
hand, was
true.
Like, he brought him some stuff that he didn't know how to rebuttal and defend. And that Nick scratching his head like, shoot, maybe you are right.
Right. right.
Yeah,
he's scratching his head. You know, so Nick was.
Of course, I'm being sarcastic
before.
With this. Yeah.
Yes,
I do want to find out who Rabbi Abram is, and maybe he can, you know, step to somebody like Griff. Maybe somebody like Griff or Minister Farrakhan, they can have a discussion in this recorder for the public, so we can see.
Yeah,
what
that'd be great.
Definitely couldn't even came to Minister Farrakhan. That's why I didn't even say.
No. They don't want that. I can't believe – I don't
they
remember
don't
which speech that was. It might have been Savior's Day last year where he called out – Minister Farrakhan called out Alan Dershowitz and some other Jewish leaders to challenge him, to debate him on his, quote-unquote, anti-Semitism. He challenged them. He put out the call. That's public record. You feel, but they don't want that. See, that would damage their brand. If they was to have a conversation, we ain't even got to call a debate. If they was to have a conversation with the minister on this anti-Semitism, it would kill their whole brand. Like, the gig would be up, right? The joke would be up. So they don't want to do that. You feel me? They don't want to do that because it would destroy everything that they've worked up to this point to build. And he would just do it with rhetoric and words. And they don't want to risk it, in my opinion. But, you know.
And I'll say this and wrap it up. I'll say it real quick. Just like you said, people can look into what Minister Farrakhan said. And also, like I said in the beginning of this show, you can YouTube up the greatest debate ever had with Dr. Khalid Muhammad. And you can watch a student of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad go to work outside of Minister Louis Farrakhan. You know, check out both of them. The minister been doing it for years now. So you can go all the way back and check out that video of Dr. Khalid where he's debating with a rabbi. And, I mean, they got the rabbis and the Jewish quote-unquote Jewish
right.
people got upset and were leaving the facility. So,
right, exactly.
Y'all go back and check that out.
Exactly.
Yeah.
This is what I'm saying.
And I still think Nick was in deep waters. He was way over his head, you know. And
yeah.
Right now, you know,
yeah.
he probably somewhere he already got his hair cut bald. He probably already in the cave somewhere and probably just came from up out the waters and praying and meditating, trying to get himself together. But
right.
you know, hopefully everything works out good for the brother. You know, we'll keep him uplifted
right.
in prayer.
That's right.
And,
that's right.
And hope but thank everybody for tuning in with us once again this Sunday. We
yes.
Hope that you continue to support us each and every Sunday, 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. Like always, if you have any show topic ideas, we please urge you to send us an email at collectivemindsyahoo.com and find us on Facebook, Instagram, social media. Please look forward to talking to you next week.
Peace.
Yeah.
out.
Yes, indeed. Rest in power.
Collective mind.
What they thought.